ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Dom, we're going to talk a little more about Rojo, the senator from the great state of Wisconsin.
You're getting all choked up. Just talking.
I got to clear my throat. Got a little Rojo stuck. Dominic, before we get to the most recent of the outlandish statements of Rojo, because, you know, as he's out there defending his tax cuts for billionaires like the Widow Hendricks and the U-Lines, he's also out there standing up for, you know, the pharmaceutical industry.
You know, really standing up for the small people.
Against patients and capping pharmaceutical costs for the patients. Now, my understanding, this new piece of legislation caps pharmaceutical costs per individual at $2,000 a year. That is a pretty big step forward. I'd like to see this whole legislation explained better, flushed out a little more. It's just been signed into law by Joe Biden. But I can tell you, anything that Ron Johnson says about it is probably a lie. And the people of the great state of Wisconsin, even some Republican voters, they're starting to see through Rojo. Our buddy John Nichols from The Nation, but also locally at the Cap Times, he points out, Dom, through a little column he wrote over at the Cap Times this week, 110,000 Wisconsin Republican primary voters rejected your buddy Ron Johnson. 110,000. Let me jump into the body of the work. Where is it? Where is it? I just want to get to the numbers. Here it is. Schrader was the opponent of Ron Johnson. His primary opponent. Schrader had the truth on his side, but little else. Johnson's campaign spent $15 million before the primary. So Rojo's $15 million in already, trying to defend himself, blanketing the airwaves with ads. And I tell you, outstate Wisconsin, it is filthy with Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels ads. And some people are going, well, what happened to Becky Clayfish? What happened in the gubernatorial primary? Millions of dollars spent on right-wing talk radio and radio of all formats, but the state is filthy with them. And here in the Madison and Milwaukee markets where I spend more of my time, you know, I see the ads. I see the TV ads. But I'm telling you, man, Rojo is filthy on the airways. $15 million and counting.
1-5, $15
million. 1-5. In contrast, Schrader rarely appeared on TV or radio. There were no debates or joint forums featuring the two Republicans. So what happened when the GOP primary votes were counted last Tuesday? Schrader won more than 110,000 votes. The challenger took 16.3% of the primary vote. In more than a dozen counties, Schrader won more than 20% of the vote. That's 1-5, Dom. Although, you know, we're not great at radio on the math on the radio or talking on the radio, any of those things. In several counties, he won over 25%. Schrader received almost three times as many votes as your buddy Tim Rantham. Ram Jam, the Trumpist decertified the election guy, a Campbellsport Republican who sought the GOP gubernatorial nomination. Ram Jam, who raised and spent nearly $200,000 on his primary campaign and who was featured in the primary debate with former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish and the multi-millionaire Tim Michaels, was a high-profile contender who got substantial media coverage. Yet Rantham, Ram Jam, won only 41,689 votes. How's that song go? Yeah, that's sort of his theme song, Ram Jam. 42,000 votes. Schrader got 110,000 plus, Dom. So what make you of this? Is Rojo vulnerable even within his own party?
I think you can't look at these numbers and not come away with that. I think that certainly seems to be the case. I mean, you're talking about, and again, it certainly depends on which counties you're talking about. But if in a couple of counties, more than a dozen Schrader gets, what, over 20% of the vote, and several over 25% of the vote. Now, there are some small counties in the state of Wisconsin, no doubt. But that seems to indicate, you know, some displeasure with Ron Johnson. Yeah, I do think it is problematic for him. Now, the question, you know, do they come home? Now, look at the other side. Rantham had other competitors, right? There were more people in that race for the governor than there were for Senate. So that would divide up some of those opposing votes. If you added all those votes up.
Well, okay. John Nichols does also point out there was a U.S. senatorial primary on the Democratic side. And you could say, yeah, but all the major contenders, they got out. But first, Lazary and company, including Godlewski and Tom Nelson, first they spent $25 million opposing Mandela Barnes, and they walked away with like 22% of the combined vote. Mandela had 78% support in the primary, and all those names were still on the ballot. So consider that also.
The survey from Marquette University polling. In one survey, the one-on-one matchup with the Republican incumbent, 91% of Democrats said they were for Barnes. In contrast, only 86% of Republicans said they were for Johnson. Those numbers, writes Nichols, suggested that there was something of a Republican enthusiasm gap for Johnson. That could be consequential in a state where four of the past six presidential races have been decided by fewer than 25,000 votes, and where the most recent races for governor and attorney general were determined by fewer than 30,000 votes. Yeah, maybe people are getting a little tired of, I mean, there's so many things that he's done. You know, what was the hydrochloric, what was the medicine?
Gargle.
Hydroquine, yeah, yeah.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Right, and what was the...
There was gargling to avoid COVID. There was, what was the horse paste he was advocating for?
Ivermectin.
Right? Yeah, you know it, baby.
I mean, there's so many greatest hits of
Ivermectin will turn you blue, literally. Wasn't that the stuff that would turn you blue? Like, one guy turned himself blue from treating himself with ivermectin.
Yeah, that silver tincture. Oh, yeah, no, it's terrible for you.
That's a great idea. And while, again, these are... So, yes, I think ultimately Nichols has it right. I think there is some enthusiasm gap for Senator Johnson. But I got to tell you, man, I hope Mandela Barnes, and he's a very... gets lots of support, obviously, from the Democrats here in the state of Wisconsin, supported by the party, and all the other opponents came and rallied around behind him. Such a contrast of background and character and upbringing, right? Son of an all third shift auto worker. You know, we've heard the story over and over again. I think it's going to be a fantastic contrast between him and current, soon to be former Senator Ron Johnson. I mean, Ron Johnson, we're talking about these things today. He's down for, you know, billions of dollars in tax cuts, hundreds of millions of dollars of tax cuts for his donors. Now, you may say, oh, we never talked about it. But again, you don't have to. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, we're all in the club together. You know what I'm saying? You're not. Mandela Barnes is not. We are not in that club. And he goes, Senator Johnson, to that point in supporting the pharmaceutical industry. Same thing.
Well, let's hear Rocho. Let's not put words in the man's mouth. He can speak for himself. He went to Brian Kilmeade on the Fox News Network, the radio version, and he had this to say earlier today. And Evan, we appreciate your hard work in pulling the sound. Let's play it for the fair audience. Cut number one.
So the other thing that you have with pharmaceuticals, they say, wouldn't it be great if Medicare got a chance to bid on their on pharmaceutical prices? But the thing that the bad side about that is the pharmaceutical industry is going to pay a huge price, and we're going to pay the price on innovation, correct?
Correct. And by the way, any money we raise from that is going to be spent misallocated to the Green New Deal. It's not going to, you know, from what I can see, it's not going to go to reduce premiums for Medicare or to bolster that program and, you know, make it more sustainable. But you're absolutely right. When you start punishing the pharmaceutical industry, you're going to have less innovation. You're going to have fewer life-saving drugs. That's not a good thing.
What bunk? I mean, let's think about this. If the overinflated prices that we, the people, through our government, have been paying the pharmaceuticals. We've been essentially been funding their research. Is that what it comes down to? Because
we the American people.
Yes, we the American people should continue to pay a premium because otherwise they won't do the research. I mean, how very Trumpian. Hey, it's a nice healthcare system you got there. It'd be terrible if something happened to it and you didn't get any more pharmaceuticals. You know what I'm saying? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Well, also consider the specific population as Kilby, the host, asking the tough questions. I'm correct, am I not? Medicaid and Medicare. Well, Medicaid is presumably disabled people and poor people. And Medicare is seniors. So these are blocks of people that don't have a lot of financial clout, let's just say. But collectively, they add up to a big number. But Ron is worried that poor people and seniors are going to have an unfair negotiating advantage against Big Pharma. You know, it won't be fair to Big Pharma. You know, who's going to advance the drugs if Big Pharma doesn't
continue to fleece the American government over its prescription drug pricing? That's exactly what they're saying. Talk about some top line numbers here from Fortune.com. The pharmaceutical industry had a big year in 2021. The 10 largest pharma companies by revenue spanned five countries and brought in a collective $734.8 billion in revenue and $130.6 billion in profits, according to the 2022 Fortune Global 500 released earlier this month. This was in August, so this is very current. My number on that crude, again, these are just the top 10. These represent international companies as well. That's about a 17, just under 18% profit margin. The pharmaceutical companies represented on the Global 500, which ranks the world's largest companies by revenue, generated, get this one, 98.2% profit growth on average from the previous year. Hell, man, pandemic, I need to make some money. So they made all that extra money. The COVID-19 pandemic provided a tremendous opportunity for some drug companies to expand their operations as they got involved with the manufacture and distribution of vaccines. More than 12.2 billion doses have been administered globally as of July 17th, and 68.8% of the world's population is at least partially vaccinated against COVID-19. For Pfizer, that's the vaccine I have, it ranks fourth out of all global pharmaceutical companies by revenue. COVID-19 vaccine production made up nearly half of its annual revenue, accounting for $36.8 billion in total. Revenues for all vaccines are expected to reach $47 billion by 2025.
Dominic, a little bit from the reporting at the NBC News, this on this topic, this Inflation Reduction Act signed into law by Joe Biden, under the, I'm going to go up one more paragraph. Exorbitant drug prices in the United States are a key reason many people in the U.S. are forced to skip or delay filling their needed prescriptions. Those damn poor people trying to stick it to Big Pharma, according to Ron Johnson. A Kaiser Family Foundation poll published last month found that nearly one in two adults, that's like half of Americans, reported difficulty affording their healthcare expenses, including their prescribed medications. A little bit more here, Dom, because I over-conflated. I want to make sure I'm accurate in my descriptors of this new law. Under the new law, the U.S. government is now able to negotiate prices on the costliest prescription drugs, cap cost at $2,000 per year for people on Medicare. So if I left you with the impression that's for all consumers, I apologize. That's just for Medicare people. Limit the monthly cost of insulin to $35 for seniors. Again, that's Medicare. And extend subsidies for people buying their own health coverage through the Affordable Care Act, the federal subsidies on the Obamacare exchanges. The law also provides free vaccines for seniors. The changes are significant, especially for anyone in need of high-cost drugs. Yes, I would say yes. So anyways, if you're talking about Medicare, you're talking about negotiating on behalf of seniors. And if you're talking about Medicaid, you're talking about negotiating on behalf of disabled and extremely poor people, people living, at least here in the state of Wisconsin, living below the poverty line, because we never expanded Medicaid to people above the poverty line. So I think it's a good thing. I think this may take a while to take effect, because it's not like the Medicare prices have been negotiated. It's not like the pharmaceutical companies are going to say, we cut our prices preemptively. These negotiations still have to go on. But over the course of years, you're going to save money. And Ron Johnson will keep whining about it. Poor pharma.
You take drugs, Danny?
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
Just aim higher.